right, we'll call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. And my apologies for those online. We ran our floor session a little late, which ran every meeting in the building late. And so we got a quorum today with us, Senator Meyer, Senator Costello, and myself, Senator Coghill. I understand Mr. Senator Wilkowski will be here in a minute, in a short while here. Today, though, what we wanted to do is give some time for people to chime in on the industrial hemp bill. And last time we went through the bill at length and did not get to the public testimony. So today is going to be primarily public testimony. There is a process in works where some of the questions that came before us on the industrialized hemp bill, which is Senate Bill number 6, my apologies. There are some revisions happening as we speak, so they won't come before us today, but they're in the process and drafting and before will come before the committee. But in the meanwhile, we have several people that wanted to put their testimony on the record. And so, but before I get to them, we have Captain Dan Loudon on the line. And he is available for questions at this point. And I see he may not even be able available at this time. He may not even be able to hear us. But it'd be my purpose at this point to go ahead and excuse him so that we can do public testimony, unless he wants to listen in. And so, Captain Loudon, if you're there, if you want to excuse yourself, or you can just tell us he'll be available, and I won't pester you after that. All right, well, we'll just take that as he's busy, and we want him to stay busy. We want him to do good things for Alaska. Senator Kelly, thanks for joining us. So we have four members present, and what we wanted to do is go through the public testimony on Senate Bill 6, the industrialized hemp, and probably what I'll do is go through each legislative office in order and try to do that as quickly as we can. Because I don't think we'll take up the whole time on this, I will keep a timer, but I'm not going to be real dramatic about the timing. Unless people get long-winded, and then I'll ask them to wrap it up, only because other people should get to testify. So with that, I've got some people in Homer that I think wanted to testify, so let's go to the Homer LIO and have them step up, give their name, any affiliation, and then public testimony, and I'll try to generally keep you to about 3 minutes, okay? So, Homer LIO, who's up first?
Good afternoon, it's Karen Berger from Homer, Alaska. I'm a registered voting voter, and sorry to say that I'm the first person to speak on this, but I'm just here as a voice to say that I am in full agreement and a proponent of the industrial hemp, Senate Bill 6. I speak in the spirit of Julie Cesarini, who spent every day in order to try to bring industrial hemp to our state, and I still feel that it is a viable product. It's good for our agriculture, our economy, and our dietary needs. I'm a plant-based consumer of my own food, and so I think industrial hemp's a great thing, and I hope that you will consider this and enact this legislation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Karen. I appreciate the clarity and your input, and so I think we have Jack Bennett there at Homer as well. Jack, do you want to testify?
Chair. This is Jack Bennett, originally from Fairbanks, Alaska. I've been. Feel free to Google me and my team's efforts on sustainable building by Google Jack Bennett Hemp. I was able to present this to Governor Walker at a presentation to the Homer City Council. 2 days later, invited me to meet with his senior advisor at the state offices, and they just letting me know that they're incredibly supportive of the industrial hemp production. And actually, I've been presenting it to oil spill teams throughout Alaska that replace polypropylene technologies, 5 times more absorbent for half the cost. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski referred me to her Senate Energy Committee, a staff member, who I got a referral to the Coast Guard and the military and invited to demonstrate to the EPA, U.S. Air Force, various emergency prevention teams. My boss that represents North America's largest machinery that can process 40 million pounds when this machinery goes online annually, and it's devoted to the oil well companies to help fluids engineers drill faster, lighter, and cheaper. And it'll help improve their drilling formulas. This will help them, and this is what they'll use from now on. So I just got off the phone with the oil well company. They're really impressed with the technical data sheet. Last summer, state of Oklahoma purchased 100 million pounds of hemp, 7-year contract for their oil reclamation technologies. And just the, that drilling formula industry alone is a $1 billion industry. So there's a lot at stake there that this will be all privately funded. It's not going to cost the state. And lastly, industrial hemp is not a marijuana product. You know, there's war stories of my boss. He says the youngsters, they go to his hemp fields and mistake it for the MJ fields. But the youngsters find out they get a harsh headache or a harsh throat for 3 days, and they'll do it again. And that CBD oil is a miracle. Babies impacted by epilepsies, you put the little the oils, the hemp extract on the baby's feet, it just stops the seizures. People impacted by Parkinson's, they take the CBD oil as a superfood. It normalizes their body and speech impediment. I'm working with hospitals here in Alaska with board members. Thank you for letting me share.
Mr. Bennett, thank you very much, and I think your enthusiasm will definitely be noted, and I appreciate your hard work. At this point, we'll move over to the MATSU Legislative Information Office. It looks like I have three people there online to testify. So whoever is first up in the Legislative Information Office at MATSU, please step up and give your name and give your testimony.
Okay, my name is Don Hart, and my testimony is kind of brief. It basically deals with the law itself, and I realize, like you explained, that there's going to be additions or changes to what you're presenting, and I noticed that the one of them, of course, is on the in this bill is the last two portions are stated as AS 1171-900, subparagraph 14, and AS 1738. 900 subparagraph 10, and what I wanted to speak to you is about that. The reason I had requested that you consider removing hemp from entirely from AS 1738, and the reasons for that is because that as you, even though you say that it does not include or industrial hemp as defined in AS 0305-100, the problem with that is if you look at the paragraph AS 1738-900, subparagraph 10, the first part of that up to the first semicolon explains that everything basically is defined as marijuana, with the exclusion coming after the semicolon. But that part of it, when you exclude it there, it does not change it from the semicolon. Your last sentence that you added doesn't change it from the first part. Includes resin is extracted from any part of the plant and every compound, manufactured, salt derivative, mix, et cetera, et cetera. If you look up in AS 1171-900, the first part of that paragraph up to the first semicolon is comparable with the federal law, and the balance from the paragraph excludes everything that is included in the definition here. So you have a conflict between the two definitions. The reason I was suggesting to remove it entirely from AS 1738, and the reason for that is if you look at AS 1738-210A, you'll see that it says local control. The local government may prohibit the operation of manufacture, cultivation facilities, et cetera, et cetera. And it says by the municipalities or by voter initiative, or by a voter initiative. The problem with that, that leaves it open to the real burden created for the judiciary itself and for law enforcement authorities. Law enforcement does not know whether, based on this definition, they're going to be required to investigate and prosecute people based upon the definitions contained in here, AS 1738-900-10, or whether they're going to have to investigate them based on AS 1171-900-14. And the part about the judiciary is you're going to create an additional unnecessary burden for the judiciary, is because all of the courts are going to have to consider whether or not they reach these definitions and whether or not it will exclude people attempting to use the voter initiative to exclude planting and growing of hemp in their particular areas. So what I was suggesting is you may want to consider removing that from AS 1738 altogether. And one other part is, if the University of Alaska were to determine to take this as a pilot study program, they in turn would be able to supply all of the data and keep track of all of the data necessary for a pilot program that would entitle them to a considerable amount of funding from the federal government as a study. Additionally, it would be comparable to that part that's already being accumulated by the marijuana advisory board up there. So those particular facts that they've got, the governor itself could declare the entire state as a study group for the purpose of the cannabis industry itself. The cannabis industry itself has the ability not only to produce, like Jack Minnis, the different building manufacturing materials and stuff that would benefit the industry, but in addition to that, they also, and out of Canada, they're producing a considerable amount of these particular products, and they're used in all the different automobiles and the floor mats, the seats, the door panels, all the other things. So there's, and it's in, and Henry Ford built an automobile that when it came off of the assembly line, it was bulletproof to .38 caliber. These particular hemp panels that could be made would lighten the bulletproof vest and things worn by our military, and the panels that could be assigned, attached to the military vehicles themselves, because steel absorbs the impact from an explosion, and it's caused a lot of deaths and a lot of serious injuries. By hanging these hemp panels on the outside of that, they absorb the shock and it wouldn't penetrate the steel. That when it came off the assembly line on the Henry Ford assembly line, they took a 18-pound sledgehammer and hit it on the trunk of the car, and it bounced like rubber. But the idea is that you have a tremendous amount of economic opportunity here if you chose to do it the way that I believe you probably want to consider doing that. Thank you for your time.
Don, some really good suggestions, and I saw both the staff and the senators writing down those suggestions, and I think those questions will come up as we get into the bill. Thank you very much for your time and testimony. Who's up next in the Matsu LIO?
My name is Ken Ray. I live in Wasilla. I am a commercial greenhouse grower, horticulturist with 40 years experience in Alaska. I think that legalization of hemp is a good idea. I think we need to reduce regulation as much as possible. But I see this before the Judiciary Committee, but I see a bill before me with no teeth. I would like to add, as part of the enforcement, there is an inspection that is required, that is capable of any agricultural crop in Alaska. And there is a danger in producing hemp, in that your hemp field can be contaminated by the marijuana growers down the road, or your marijuana growers can be contaminated by your hemp field. So I am suggesting a requirement of posting of hemp fields. The contamination is done by bees in cross-pollinization, and all of a sudden your hemp field will not fall within the allowed tolerances described here. The penalty is stop sale, and I don't think that's adequate. I think that when your hemp field is no longer a hemp field, but is a THC-producing field, I think an order of destruction is appropriate, with the cost being borne by the owner. The posting of fields will help identify so the growers can protect each other from this cross-pollinization. There's one other aspect of hemp I think that's being overlooked. There's many economic opportunities, and if hemp was so economical, the Philippines would be growing it and everybody else. So Alaska will have to compete. And to be honest to me, hemp is boring. I would not be interested in growing it. But the cooperative, or the Alaska Experiment Station under the U.S. government grew hemp at Rampart in Fairbanks in 1916 and posted the results. And there's one thing that we're overlooking is that hemp seed today is on the shelf at Fred Meyer's and Walmart. You can go buy it. But what is the troopers going to do when a grower gets stopped at the scale and says, hey, I've got 40,000 pounds of hemp seed out here in a semi? Who's going to answer the phone? I think we need to be prepared for that in judiciary. I would like to make the suggestion that we're not considering there may be an economic opportunity of hemp in terms of seed production for animal feed, for chickens, for goats, for cattle. And the early maturity of the seed in our Alaska season is going to be something that does make it unique. Now, there is a danger, as I said, between hemp and marijuana. There is a possibility of hiding your marijuana crop in the hemp field. You don't need to grow marijuana in a greenhouse. It grows fine out in the field. So I would like to ask you to consider an order of destruction borne at the owner's cost as an addition out of the judiciary. I think that hemp is a product that has been around for a long time. Many states have used it and continue to use it. It is a resource. Hemp can grow 25 feet tall. I would like to suggest that hemp also needs to be addressed to where the home gardener is going to want to grow it. And he will have to have access to this registration process. And there may be something to where you can require a basic minimum registration of somebody growing more than 20 square feet of hemp, as an example. You need a threshold of registration, and maybe just somehow how to address the hobbyist that wants to grow it for the sake of weaving it into sweaters or burlap bags. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Some good suggestions. The pencils were going at some of those suggestions, so thank you very much. We have one more, it looks like, at Matt Sue, and then we're going to go to Fairbanks. So,
Thank you, Chairman. She had to leave due to time constraints.
Okay, yeah, and my apologies. I'm not in charge of what goes on in this building, but I try to get in charge of this committee as fast as I can. We'll move over to Fairbanks then, at the Fairbanks Legislative Information Office. Let me get up there. And we have, it looks like, two, maybe one person there in Fairbanks. If you're there, why don't you put yourself on the record and give us your testimony?
Yeah, this is Frank Turney.
Frank.
Hello?
You put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Yeah, this is Frank Turney. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Okay, thank you. Well, I've been over this bill for quite a few times, you know, Senator, so I definitely support Senate Bill 6, the Industrial Hemp Act. It sounds like, what I've listened to, it sounds like people are really fully informed and knowledgeable of this versatile plant of over 25,000 products being made from fiber and oils. But one thing that was brought up at the last hearing, someone mentioned a pilot project for industrial hemp. I noticed one of the, I believe it was Denali growers, he said what he wanted to grow hemp to make a profit. I would rather see him or somebody like that have the pilot project versus having the University of Fairbanks doing it, or any other university. I'd rather have a farmer out there that knows what he's doing versus the university. Now, I know Representative Steve Thompson was working on this, to the university up here, and they said they had a problem because they could not, they terminated the siege, you know, had to be level shipped from Canada. They had a problem with that with the federal government. So I don't know if you've actually looked into that as far as transporting these hemp seeds into Alaska or not, but I think it should be looked at if you haven't already.
Frank, I think that's part of the discussion, and I think the pilot project is not singularly exclusive. It's a range that the commissioner can actually regulate what they think is their capacity to regulate. So it might be 5, 6, 10, depends on how the regulations fall out. So.
Right. Well, I just hope we can give him the chance. You know, I really believe that the economic growth and parts of marketing jobs we could create in this last, in the last, could be something. One thing I know about it. Hemp is the fastest growing biomass on the earth today. Fastest growing biomass, you just need a little water and sunshine. And a lot of people don't think we can grow hemp here in the Arctic in Fairbanks. I can testify that we can grow hemp here. We got 3 months of summer and that's all we need. And thank you. I hope this passes. And I heard if it does pass, it goes to finance, but then it's got to go back to the House. Am I correct before you get 2/3 of the vote?
It doesn't need 2/3, but it probably will have to go through finance over to the House. That is true.
Okay, and thanks, John.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate your time and your patience. And I'm going to also express my gratitude for those in Talkeetna who were very patient. So we have one in Talkeetna, and so why don't you put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Amber Haynes, and I own and operate Maui Hemp Company up here, which was between Willow and Talkeetna, but our little storefront is here in Talkeetna. And my husband and I use hemp seed oil and hemp seed that we currently import to make natural products. We use as many Alaskan-grown products as we can. I harvest most all of my herbs. Devil's Club is probably the heart of my business. I've said these things before, and I hate to be repetitive, but, you know, my testimony comes from the heart. My testimony comes from my actual personal use, trying to improve our small acreage where we live, our home, our garden, supplementing our animals with the hemp seed, supplementing our animal bedding with hemp herd. These are all products that, if we're allowed to grow hemp here in Alaska, that I would be able to utilize every day. And so this is very, very close to my heart. And I appreciate you guys listening to all of us. I love the fact that so many across the state of Alaska are finally banding together in support of an agricultural hemp industry. I definitely support the pilot programs and focusing not only on large acres, large fields of hemp, but those of us that have small acreages. We have remote property that we are slowly starting to clear, and hopefully someday we'll have a cabin there, but really we would love to be able to grow some hemp, grow some peonies. You know, it all just fits into the sustainability of Alaskans and what grows the best in their microclimates. And so I really ask that when we're considering this industry, that we're open to various types of hemp seeds, the different varieties that might grow better at my home than at, you know, in Fairbanks at Frank's place. So that there's just attention paid to the small person, the small farmer, the small homesteader who wants to implement hemp seed, and also just to bring up, you know, the protein and the nutrition that's found in hemp seed. So many people these days have allergies, and that's one great thing about the hemp seed is that you can make hemp milk for those who can't deal with dairy. You can make hemp flour for those who can't deal with gluten. Sprouting the hemp seeds, doing microgreens. It's a very exciting time for those of us who have been importing hemp and look forward to being able to maybe grow our own, but definitely to use Alaskan made. And I just hope that this bill is able to get some legs and move out of here and just let people start growing as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And just to let people know, it's not my intention to hold this bill up in committee, but there are some questions on the regulatory matters and making sure that that it has got the proper penalties for bad action and the cleanest methodology for good action. So probably in Cordova, we have one of the more patient people, David Otness. So, David, my apologies. I just now noticed that you've been on probably the longest, so my apologies. So, in Cordova, put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Lost it.
Are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, yes, Senator Coghill. Thank you, chairs and committee, for this opportunity. I think it's quite interesting that we're kind of coming out of the dark ages, as it were, and actually reaching out and being pragmatic about the crops that would actually be viable in Alaska. I haven't done any numbers, and there have been some very knowledgeable people speaking. I'm glad to hear that. But I do see a dire need for us to diversify the economy, as I think everybody else does as well. And getting the stigma of 1933 laws off of the actual industrial component of the cannabis sativa is a great step forward. We started a friend of mine and I started a Cordova gardening page here 2 years ago in this small town, and we now have 161 members, and managed to get the interest of the native village of Eyak to propose a facility on their land out by the state airport, which at my latest knowledge now consists of 10 70 by 26 high tunnels with the goal of providing food for both Cordova and four other places around Prince William Sound. It's got a lot of enthusiasm within the community, but I'd like to see it go further and diversification, because we've got such a great amount of flat land going out on the Copper River Delta. The only downside I see is whether or not moose would be the largest problem for getting into the whatever crop is out there. But the industrial benefits for this product just seem to be without end. And I was aware of Henry Ford doing that, and also the insulation and actual building blocks in lieu of concrete, and they're insulated as well. We've just got some wonderful potential here that I hope we do take advantage of. I would question one assertion by the fellow who brought up that there would be cross-pollination, because I think, as far as I know, and I have no intimate experience with it, but from what I've heard, that actual serious marijuana for a buzz growers actually hand pollinate everything that they have within confined spaces. It's not an outdoor plant per se. Sure, it'll grow, but they're all coming up with their trade craft names like microbreweries and everything else, and they're quite scientific about it. And I just tend to question that assertion. I think it's more, it's out there, it's a possibility, but I don't think you're going to see serious marijuana growers growing outside for the full effect. And another thing I would kind of like to see is minimize the regulations as much as possible within the context of making the distinction that people are going to have to grow, I would think, a large acreage to make this work. I haven't scaled it or anything, but I don't think people would be willing to risk their land to confiscation under federal laws, and the drug laws are quite severe, as everybody knows. Your house, your car, your kids, whatever. I mean, they're really serious about it. So I think, there should be enforcement, of course, but to dedicate and require a larger budget for, say, the troopers
or whomever to take an exceptional amount of time to regulate this. I just think it kind of start building on itself to where it might get too expensive, especially with the woes we're facing. And I'd rather see this go under the auspices in a pilot program under the Cooperative Extension Service. Unfortunately, it got cut as much as it did a couple years back because the agency in Anchorage was being used by a lot of different people, and to actually put it on a for-profit standing, well, it's not taking money out of the state budget and is actually producing a tax revenue from this crop. It's like anything, you know, it should at this point have a production tax of some kind on it. But anyway, I'm encouraged. I think we need to, you know, prepare for our imminent future that doesn't hold quite the economic promise it once did. So thank you, gentlemen.
David,
and
thank you.
Senator Carr, thank you.
Thank you very much. And just for those listening in online, a couple of the things that we're working on the reason we can't get it here yet is we're still drafting, and that is there is a limit to the THC level, and if a farmer somehow goes over that by just a little bit, then he's into marijuana rules, and yet it would still not be any real value to the marijuana market. And so we're trying to figure out how to give some kind of flexibility and still keep a downward pressure on kind of the THC content so that farmers can be protected, so that they don't plant a crop and end up having to throw a whole year's away because they came in at 0.002 over the THC limit. And so that's part of the drafting issues that we're dealing with. And so for those of you on public testimony, thank you very much. I think there were some good suggestions, and we had Rob Carter with the Division of Agriculture listening in, and Sarah Chambers, who's a director of Alcohol and Marijuana Control Board, our office, and they heard those comments as well. So the public testimony, I thought, brought up some really good points today, and that's the end of our public testimony. And that's what my main intention today was, make sure they had plenty of time today, because we ran them out of time last time we were in front of us. And next, we'll bring the bill before us in a different version because we're trying to figure out some of these accountability pieces, and that's why it was sent to the judiciary, so that we could iron those out. Also, the next committee meeting will bring up Senate Bill 20, right?
Five.
I'm sorry, Senate Bill 5. And so then apologies to the committee members for reasons beyond my control, I can't be here Friday or Monday. And one of them is a doctor's reason, and the other one is a public meeting that I have to be involved in. So we will not have meetings Friday or Monday. And Wednesday we'll come back up. We'll try to get a CS so that everybody could look at it. We'll try to bring up Senate Bill 54, which is the criminal justice reform package. And then we'll take up Senate Bill 20, and hopefully we can move some stuff along next week if you've had a chance to look at them. I will try to get all that information to your offices with plenty of time to read it before we get to committee. As far as I know, that's all the public testimony. I think we've made sure that everybody had a comment today. And any comments from the committee before we adjourn?
You should close public testimony.
I am not going to close public testimony, only because this bill will have another version, and I think that will probably cause some public comment need, and I think it's wise to keep it open. So with that, we'll adjourn the Judiciary Committee.